I think it's time for She-Ra. For the honor of Grayskull!
This is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 64th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise, as he is every time, is TFGO and Mike. Hello.
Hello.
And are you ready for more Mists of Etheria, sir?
I don't know.
You don't know? You're undecided. You're old?
Yeah.
Crotchety?
No, folks, if you thought the ending to episode 63 was all kinds of furbed up, you're going to just, this one's going to outdo that, I guarantee it.
Okay.
Because, oh, God.
Interesting. Well, in this episode of Mists of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on episode 52, The Wizard, episode 53, Unexpected Ally, and episode 54, The Light of the Crystal. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Etheria.
I want to know who the hell comes up with these titles, because some of them are great, and then some of them are just like, hey, let's just throw the whiz on here.
No whiz. No whizzing on the episodes, please.
What's our next stop?
Farmer Petro and family. Their place is just ahead. They owe 3 months back taxes.
It should be fun sucking it out on them.
I'd much rather be home in bed instead of being a lookout. I must be more...
It's some kind of bird.
I know that bird. He's a pet of the rebels. Long the rider one. Freeze him. Get after him.
First up today is episode 52, The Wizard, air date of Monday, November 18th, 1985, written by Francis Moss. Feeling neglected, Cowl and Broom go off to see the Wizard of Silverglade, but on the way they meet Dr. Drome and Acrobad, who take them to the Horde outpost at Moorstone, where Colonel Blast means to sell them to an alien circus. So we have Leech and some Horde troopers. We have She-Ra, obviously, Bo, Madame Res, Retina, Cowl, Broom, Swiftwind, Sprague, Sprocker, all those things. And then we have, of course, like I said in the intro, Dr. Drome.
All those what?
What?
You said all those something. What was the something? You said all
those. I don't
remember
what I said. All those guys, all those.
I don't know. It's no.
Then we had Dr. Drome, Acrobad, Colonel Blast, and a farmer and his daughter. So. What did you think about this whole idea that we're going off to see the wizard and that we're meeting these Dr. Drome and Acrobad, and then also we get exposed to the Horde outpost with Colonel Blast? What did you think of the plot for this one?
I'm thinking that there's no way in hell those ruby slippers are going to fit Cowl.
They're like without Dorothy.
Broom
it's like
a poor stand-in for the scarecrow.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Broom would be the scarecrow, and Cowl, well, I guess, would be the lion.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going with.
Where's Mechanek when you really need a tin woodsman?
Yeah, true. There'd be a lot of options for that.
This one was all right. It was okay. There's a lot that I didn't like in this one.
What?
Yeah. There's
oh,
a lot.
Lord, are we going to start off on the same thing we ended with last time with you?
I don't know. It's like, how many episodes have we had of any character? Not just Roman Cowell or Bo, but just any character in this. We're only in the first season. We've had so many episodes of every character throwing a fit and going to the Island of Misfit Toys. Because honestly, that's the general plot of this episode. That's the whole thing. I'm like, when is Rudolph going to show up? When is Unicorn Cornelius going to show up? Because that's really the only thing I thought of as they're on this journey to go see the wizard.
That didn't bother me. Didn't bother me.
What I just said, or
no, that aspect of the plot didn't bother me. Since they really didn't go there, they didn't end up doing that or seeing any wizard or anything like that. So it was more about the stuff that they ran into on the way. So I guess I didn't have those thoughts of the misfit toys. But yeah, you're right. There has been a lot of episodes where Cowell or Broom or Madame Raz or whoever has felt insecure or inferior and has basically abandoned ship. So, I mean, we have seen that a lot, but luckily for me, that was really only part of the intro, and the rest of it seemed to go in a good direction for me.
Mm.
We're going to disagree a lot on this one.
I'm sure.
Oh, man. Well, let's get into it then. Let's make our way for the first time today into the Whispering Woods to see how much we can either agree or disagree on.
It's been a race. There's only the Fright Zone, folks.
Thanks for the information, Petro. We'll act on it as soon as possible.
Take care of yourselves. The Horde, get inside, quick. We'll lead them away.
Get behind them. We'll freeze them in crossfire.
What happened to Cowell? He was supposed to warn us.
We'd better split up and make a run for it.
There's one of them. We got him. But it looks like we lost Adora.
We'll get her, too. Right now, round up that farmer and his family.
A pleasure.
All right, so at least myself has found his way to the Whispering Woods. I don't know if TFG and Mike is lost somewhere on the way, but I have quite a few things to mention in the Whispering
Woods. I only have two, so let me get mine out of the way first, and then you can just
praise.
There
better be two that have like five parts each.
No, not really.
What do you got?
Swift Winds diving at the Horde Troopers. That was amazing. That was awesome. I loved that. And then, yay, everybody makes up in the end because we need a happy ending. Yay.
That's a good moment?
I guess. Okay. It's kind of mixed.
Well, let me tell the people how wrong you are, first of all. Because there's a lot of stuff here. First, Leech finally getting some more time. I've been waiting for some more Leech time, so I liked seeing him kind of front and center in this, at least in the beginning. And the animation on him looks much better in this episode than it has in the past. So I think they ironed out some things with his character. And I also thought the episode felt very natural with how it went from Leech and then kind of evolved into this side story with the rest of the characters that we've got. I thought that seemed kind of natural. It wasn't like, oh, here's these people over here, and then fast forward to these people over there. It's natural evolvement in the episode. I also very much like the voice on Dr. Drome and Acrobat, but especially on Dr. Drome. It was very different sounding compared to what we've heard in the series and in He-Man itself. old-fashioned.
Drone was good. Acrobad was driving me acrobatty.
Well, I'm specifically focusing on Dr. Drone there because it was kind of like an old-fashioned voice-sounding thing. And it actually even took me a while to try to figure out who was doing it because it didn't sound like a typical, you know, Lusheimer or a typical DeCenzo or, you know, et cetera. So I was like, well, who's doing this? Because it sounds completely different than anything I've heard in...
So who did it?
I'd have to look it up. It's been a while since I watched the episode.
You mean you didn't prepare before this? Come on.
I'll have that answer temporarily. But I also thought it was interesting animation as they drive towards the outpost. If you're rewatching the episode, watch for when they drive towards the outpost. It was a cool look. And I like just the general idea of outposts. Like, it's not something we've been exposed to a lot with the Horde, but... if they're this all-encompassing, you know, evil force empire type thing, it makes sense that they're not just going to have the Fright Zone, but they're going to have some satellite, you know, outposts and different things like that to help watch over the whole area. So,
It's kind of like on Eternia, even though I know, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's kind of like on Eternia, even though I know that's the flip side of, you know, good guys rule Eternia, bad guys don't, but... on Eternia, you have two things. You have various towns and villages with all the good people of Eternia, and then you have all of Skeletor's warriors generally residing outside of Snake Mountain. There, you know, because there's that one episode where he, let me go call my evil warriors, you know. So, you know, Merman comes from the sea, and Evelyn comes from a cave, and Trapjaw comes from a volcanic piece of rock where the Red Lion, who knows, you know, He-Man meets Voltron. But yeah, I mean... With Etheria, it's nice seeing the outpost because you have the hordes in charge, like you said. So instead of seeing all these villages and towns like we have been, we've seen several different ones. It's nice seeing that also there's a horde presence throughout the entire planet, not just specifically to the Fright Zone itself.
Yeah, and to answer the question, George DeCenzo voiced Dr. Drone. So he also voiced Acrobat as well, but I liked what he did with Dr. Drone. So yeah, I like the idea of an outpost, and then we get Colonel Blast, who I thought had an awesome look. Like
he did, yeah.
It's also cool to see, it almost reminds me of what they did in the Star Wars universe when we got, like, in the Clone Wars, where we had stormtroopers, but then we had, like, generals or something that distinguished them from the everyday stormtrooper.
Kind of like Phasma.
Captain Cody, I think it was, or a couple of different things. Like, yeah, he looked the same, but at least he was a different character. But Colonel Blast had an awesome look, so I liked that. And I also thought it was crazy what he looked like under the gear. I wasn't expecting the drastic shift in what he actually looked like under there. So I was a big fan of his character. I would love to if he had made more than just one appearance in this series. And then to shift to the actual good characters, I really liked Cowl's back talk towards Bo. He had some snarky back talk remarks to Bo, and anybody that's putting Bo in his place is a winner for me. So I thought there was a lot to like about this episode, but if we made our way to the Fright Zone, what's your big beef?
Oh, there's just so much.
I only got a couple things.
All right, go ahead. Get them out of the
first
way.
First of all, Maneuver 55.
Yeah.
We've talked about that before. Second, kind of what we...
That's my favorite.
Second, kind of what we talked about in the intro, Cowl feeling bad again. Not just an individual character in the series feeling bad, but Cowl again, which we've already seen, I believe. Bo, just outright calling out another character by saying, "You sure are a coward."
Yeah,
like,
I'll
what
talk
the
about
fuck
that
is
later.
That? Like, excuse my language, but if you're all on the same team, you should not be calling somebody out and trying to, like, belittle them. So I thought that was bogus on Bo's part. And then Bo's shedding of a tear. You know how I feel about that.
I know how you feel about that. I've known for years now how you felt about that. For me, Bo's shedding of a tear didn't really, like, it's... Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been listening to this podcast for the 4 or 5 years we've been doing it, you'll know this is an explicit show. It's fucking Bo. I don't give a fuck about Bo shedding a single fucking tear.
It was so weird. It was such a weird person and timing, and, like, I don't need Bo shedding a tear.
Okay, so yes, I agree with you. Seeing more of Leech is awesome. But I now understand why they barely use him, because I can barely understand what the fuck he is saying. Like, no, seriously. Like, no, I mean,
the effect is kind of interesting that Shimer gives to it, so it's kind of...
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting, but I understood him more when he showed up in Secret of the Sword than I did in this episode.
I think I just like him because I liked his toy so much.
Right.
So I'm a fan of him as a character, so the more we get to see him, the more. And I thought, you know, even without the voice thing, I thought, like I said, the look of him was a little better this time. It was a little more fluid, not so cartoony like Looney Tunes-like. So.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely, yeah. The proximity of the Fright Zone and the Whispering Woods, we've talked about this before, not just with the Fright Zone, but with anything adjacent to the Whispering Woods. Is the Fright Zone really that damn close? Because, like, they were in one place, and then, boom! 2 seconds later, they're near the Fright Zone or whatever else. And can she really throw that far? I mean, we've questioned this before on many of the various quote-unquote powers both He-Man and She-Ra have. I'm sorry. She's not a Joe Namath or, you know, a Heisman or, you know, a Doug Flutie or a Tom Brady or whatever. There's no way in hell she could throw that, whatever that. I don't even remember what the fuck she threw.
She's She-Ra. She can carve the earth and redirect nature.
Yeah. Bo, stop flirting with She-Ra. And then 2 seconds later, he goes from flirting with She-Ra to insulting Cowl. And I'm just like, I just want to take your bow and arrow and just shoot you through the fucking heart on your chest.
Ugh.
Worst. Bo might really be the worst character of all of Filmation. Like, even worse than Teela's crap that she pulled in yeah. I already mentioned it.
So you're hoping for a spin-off series focusing on Teela and Bo? No?
What's that reality series? The real husbands and real housewives or whatever the hell? Oh, God, can you imagine? Anyway, I already mentioned this, and it really did feel like that with me, with Cowl and Broom. It feels like they're on their way to the Island of Misfit Toys, but they never get there. mentioned again earlier, Acrobad. I love George DeCenzo, but in this one role, I absolutely fucking hate him, because oh my god, is that voice who the hell invited the guy from New York? Jeez.
I don't know. I kind of liked it. Not as much as I like Dr. Jerome, but
as a different thing, yeah. But the character and the voice of itself, just because it is so different from what we've heard before, it's like, oh my god, this is so annoying.
Anything else?
I just had to shake my head. 55. That's my favorite. I love you, Swiftwind, but come on.
Stop with your maneuvers.
No more referencing the maneuver. It really, it's Shira's fault for even saying it. But
plus, do you really have 55 of them?
Yeah. She a lot of maneuvers. About 64 or 73 or 89. I don't even remember now. What I found interesting and kind of disappointing is that there's no Hordak in this entire episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the PSA, stranger danger.
Stranger danger. Wrong to run away, especially with a stranger.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the classic stranger danger. I mean, every kid's show should have that as a PSA somewhere in there, I guess. But it's a PSA.
It's, yeah. It's a game. It's a PSA. That's right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll see just how much we differ on our Crystal Castle ratings and see if anybody is worthy of Horde Bats or Protection Swords.
Say, maybe Madam could help. I think she had a courage spell a couple of hundred years ago.
A spell? A courage spell? Do you think she might still have it?
Well, let's go ask her.
Oh, let's see now. I've added the Bimble Ward.
Hey, Madam, I want to...
Not now, Broom.
But, Madam, it's important.
So is this. Oh, dearie my, that's just right.
And madam, if you just listen for one tiny minute.
Broom, go away. I'm very busy, and I got no time for your foolishness.
Well, I will. I can't believe it. After all these years, you'd think she'd have a little more consideration for me.
Oh, I know how you feel. Bo was the same way toward me.
They just don't appreciate us.
That's the truth, and there's nothing we can do about it.
All right, first chance to award some hardware. Mr. TFG and Mike, do you have a horde bat or a protection sword that you would like to dole out?
I understand it's different. I understand it's a new thing. Hopefully it's only this episode, but I'm sorry. The New York accent acrobat just, oh, it got on my nerves. Maybe it's because I'm from Boston, but I just couldn't deal with that. So, yeah, acrobat gets a horde bat.
Anything else?
I'll give a protection sword to Swift when simply for the maneuver, but at the same time, I'm going to give him a horde bat for, you know, agreeing, saying, oh, that's my favorite.
So dual horde bats and protection swords for the same character.
Yes, I can.
No, I said that's what you're doing right now. I'm just confirming.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Interesting. All right.
I keep the rules of the awards all the time. You should know this by now.
I'm just trying to figure out the logic of that. But we'll go with it. We'll go with it.
Hold on. What do you mean? How are you trying to figure out the logic of it?
Like, yes, how someone can be...
He did an excellent thing with the move, but the fact that he acknowledged it and he said it was his favorite because that's what She-Ra told him to do. Like, okay, I love Adam Sandler in certain movies, except when he does something stupid or something I don't like. So, you know, in that same context, I can give someone an award.
Well, you can do whatever you'd like. I'm not questioning what you're doing. You're free to do what you please. It is your hardware to give out.
That's right.
So, for me, it's an easy horde bat to Bo.
Yeah.
Saying you sure are a coward to Cowl. That's just a dick move. And for protection swords, just because I liked them so much, I will call an audible here that I didn't have written down originally, but I'm going to give protection swords to Dr. Drome and Colonel Blast, because I just liked the addition of those two characters and how they worked in this episode. So, all right. Let's see how retarded you are, because I'm not PC. But let's give out some CCs, some Crystal Castles. How many for this episode?
I'll give it a 2.
2 for the retarded one.
I'm sorry. It's just too many things in this episode that pissed me off. Number one is Bo. So Bo automatically got me to take off 2 points. So that automatically put me at a... What?
I'm just laughing.
I'm explaining, damn it.
I know. I'm just laughing because of the hatred towards Bo.
Are you kidding?
I am too.
Yeah, anyway.
Maybe I was just in a good mood when I watched this episode, but I really like this episode. I like the idea of the Horde Outpost, and I really liked, like I said, Drome and Blast and just kind of how it went. It would have been, for me, a perfect episode if we had not had the whole Cowl, I'm feeling bad and I need to go run away, and Bo making fun of him, etc. That's the only thing that knocks it down, but for me, it doesn't knock it down that much because I still really enjoyed the episode. So I will give this one a 4.5 out of 5. 4.5. Wow. Starting real strong for me on this one. Let's see if it continues or if we start slipping downhill as we make our way to episode 53.
I am speechless. Holy
4.5. You heard it here. One of the best episodes of the series.
No way in hell.
I'm sorry there isn't more to eat.
Boy, it's just not your fault, dear. What with the horde taxes, we should be glad we have any food at all.
You work so hard for so little. It just isn't fair.
No one said the horde was fair, Molly. But at least I've paid my taxes. I'll get it. What do you want here?
We have come for your taxes.
But I paid my taxes.
You paid half of them.
Hordak doubled all the taxes this morning.
Doubled? I don't have that much.
Then we will take your farm.
No, not our home, Logan!
They can't take our farm. You leave! You metal monsters, this is our home! General Sunder.
That was foolish, citizen. You'll be in jail for a long, long time.
No! Let him go, you monster!
Arrest her, too.
What about the girl?
Put her in the empty wagon, away from the rest.
Yes, General.
All right, up next, guys, is episode 53, Unexpected Ally, air date of Tuesday, November 19th, 1985, written by Bob Forward. Many farmers are unable to pay Hordak's new taxes and arrested by General Sunder. Malley escapes and seeks help from the Great Rebellion. Adora recalls Sunder being a man of his word, but thinks he will be difficult opposition. We have Hordak, Catra, Mantena, Grizzlor, and then She-Ra, Bo, and Glimmer, with, of course, General Sunder, Mally, and Mally's parents. So what do you think about another episode, similar in a way to last episode, where we're focusing on underlings or outposts or different factions of the Horde, in this case, one named General Sunder?
I think it's interesting that he's the only... Okay, well, I take that back. Catra and Scorpio are human-like, but he's the only other real, full, non-mutated animal type shit on him. That makes any sense? Like, he's a normal human dressed as a general like She-Ra was when she was a Force captain. Now, don't get me wrong, Catra and Scorpio are both human, but they're both in cosplay costumes, and then Catra actually turns into an actual cat, so she's technically half-human, but it was nice seeing another actual full-blown human working with or for or against the Horde other than Seahawk earlier. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah. I dig this. Like I said, I'm a fan of these plots that are kind of going off on other parts of the Horde and other members, outposts, etc. I'm a big fan of exploring the Horde in more than just the main four characters that we see over and over and over again, so I am a fan of the idea, so we have to wait and see how it's executed.
Yep.
All right, we'll take a quick break and get into the nitty-gritty of how this episode works or doesn't.
I heard my father call him Sunder.
Sunder? General Sunder?
Do you know him?
Oh, I should. Remember, I was once a Horde Force captain. General Sunder was a man we all respected. He's a strong fighter. Once, he even stood up to Hordak on my behalf. An honorable man and a good soldier. He will not be an easy man to fight. It would be best if we sent a small scouting party now while it's still dark. Mally, are you feeling well enough to lead us back?
Then we're going to free my parents.
We're certainly going to try. Glimmer, you go with Mally. Get her something to eat. She's had a long day, and it's going to be an even longer night. By the way, Mally, you never did tell me how you escaped from General Sunder. I'm curious. No one's ever done it before.
Well, he just forgot to lock the door, that's all.
He didn't lock the door?
Yeah. Lucky mistake, I guess.
Hmm.
Is something up?
Maybe. I know General Sunder, and he doesn't make mistakes. He's too good a soldier to leave a door open like that.
Then you think he let her go on purpose?
I don't know.
Where are you going?
To find the one person who can get to the bottom of this. She-Ra.
For the honor of Grayskull!
Yeah.
All right, we find ourselves back in the Whispering Woods to find if we have any unexpected allies in the Whispering Woods. Mike, what did you like about this episode?
This episode is far superior to the last one.
I will disagree.
Yeah. One of the only times ever that I don't mind the kid in the episode.
Yeah.
Mally was not as annoying as all the other kids in Filmation.
Very true. History. I didn't write that down, but now that you say that, yeah, because I didn't write it down, it means she didn't annoy me, so.
Oh, damn, and here I was hoping they really did kill Bo. Poor Mantana, he should have never opened his mouth.
He gets the short end of the stick quite often.
Yes, he does. And then Hordak at the end pulls off a Wicked Witch of the West line. I'll get you, you little rebels.
Nice.
What about you?
General Sunderman, I mean, is a great look. A great look. Preferably more so when he has his get-up on, not when he shows his Prince Charming self. But like I said, I just like what they've been doing. Colonel Blast, General Sunder. Like, I think they've got some cool character designs going in these stretch of episodes, so I like that. I like the backstory that we get from Adora on Sunder, someone that she knows from her past, so there's a history there. I like that. Bo taking a hit, good moment for him. A rare good moment for Bo, actually. And I like the Sunder-Hordak dichotomy, like the comparison between the two and what fuels each one and kind of how their characterizations kind of separate and go their own different ways. Like, I thought it was there were some cool lines between Sunder and Hordak on things and revelations as far as what kind of values they have, etc. So I kind of liked that.
Yeah, it was an interesting point on the values of the episode, and not just your traditional 1980s family value kind of, like, actual beliefs and how they differ from each other.
Right.
It was really, really well done.
Yeah, I agree. As far as Fright Zone moments, just a couple for me. One little nitpick, but She-Ra actually slipped into Queen Angela's voice at the beginning.
Oh, did
for
she?
A split second, and I'm like, oh, God, no.
I missed that.
I would catch it very easily because I hate Angela's voice so much. So when she slipped into that, I was like, ah, what is that? That's not... I didn't know she was in this episode.
If we ever get a chance to interview Melendi, you cannot say that to her.
No, I just hate Angela's voice. I like a lot of the other stuff that she does. I like She-Ra. I like Adora.
Yeah.
For some reason, the direction on Angela just... It's weird sounding to me. Don't make me dismantle you, robot. I'm feeling empty, robots. There is a lot of robot talk in this one, and I guess I'm putting it in the Fright Zone moments just because I wish they weren't handled as robots.
Yeah.
I know it's been inconsistent throughout the series, but this one almost definitely is making them seem like robots 100%. Like, there's no arguing that in this episode they're depicted as lifeless, soulless, just robots. And it makes me sad because I want them to be more like stormtroopers, I guess. But
so we are recording this in the middle of June. It won't actually air until late August, early September. But right before I watched this, I was watching because I needed to grab a line from another podcast to throw in another podcast episode for another show. I was watching Hook again. You know, Robin Williams, Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
One of the best 90s movies of all time. And in that, one of the henchmen comes up against Peter Pan, Robin Williams, and he asks him, aren't you? Yeah. And he jumps out the window. And that's all I could think of with Sunder here. And I'm like, seriously, why didn't the guy just jump out the window instead of... why didn't the horde robot just, like, shake in his boots or something? Right.
And last thing for me, I did not need the terrible foreshadowing that they give us when they're like, oh, I hope that line is strong enough. Like, just let us watch. You don't need to tell us that the rope's about to break. So,
yeah,
just some minor nitpicks for me. What about you?
The only thing, I mean, there are minor stuff in here, but there's so, for me, it's so minor that I didn't feel the need to write it down. But for me, I gave myself a Fright Zone moment.
You should get a lot of Fright Zone moments.
Shut up.
That's an excellent idea.
So, This is probably this. I don't actively look at all. I just don't. I refuse to. And yet when I end up seeing that character that I absolutely cannot fucking stand and wish would die almost more than Bo, I give myself a Fright Zone moment because I actually found Lookie in the episode.
Ugh. See, it's a fun game for the kids.
No, it's not.
It is. Kids what like was Lookie.
The... Yeah. What was the PSA this
PSA
time?
PSA was about it's never being too late to change, as General Sunder does and crosses over to the light.
That's fitting for this episode,
yeah.
Thankfully.
Yeah, I thought it was a good one. You know, you can make mistakes or, you know, be enemies with people, but you can change, and that's a good episode or a good message for the kids. So we're going to take a quick break again, and we'll be back for our second round of hardware today.
It's the two rebels, She-Ra and Glimmer. They're on top of that hill.
So I see. Trooper, take a squad of robots up there and capture those two.
Capture She-Ra? I knew this wasn't my day.
Get going, robot, or I'll have you dismantled.
Yes, sir.
All right, second chance to give out horde bats or protection swords. What do you have, sir? Either one?
I'm used to breaking the rules. I'm going to give myself a horde bat.
Yes!
To find
yes! Let's do that. The first one of us to get a...
Going to give General Sunder a protection sword.
I like that. I like the General Sunder one. That makes sense. I did not think of that. But I had Bo actually getting a rare protection sword for this.
Why?
Because he takes a shot so his friends can escape. So he, you know, he literally sacrifices himself in a way and gets hurt so that his friends could escape. So for once, he's being noble, which is very rare for him. So I got to recognize that. I like the idea though of giving you a horde bat. I don't have a reason to though. So I gotta find a reason here that relates to the show, and I'll try to give you one soon. But no, I give one to Hordak because he showed his weakness in this episode, and I don't want my evil commander and. King to show weakness, so bad on that, Hordak.
Yep. But
as far as Crystal Castle's rating, you were at 2 last episode. Tell me you're better than that here.
3.5.
3.5, you crotchety old man, you are.
What?
Man, I am still... I gave the last one a 4.5.
You're at a 4.5. There's something wrong with this scale.
I gave the last one a 4.5, and I am not that high, and somehow I'm still higher than you. I give this one a 4 out of 5. I like this episode a lot. I like the pairing of both.
I like the episode a lot too, but it's just slightly better than average for me.
Oh, it's more than that. Man, I was on a high because I was expecting the first two episodes to just kind of be generic, whatever, throwaway episodes. And I was really looking forward to the third episode today because I knew that there was going to be some returning characters that I was looking forward to. I was not expecting for these two episodes to be the highlight of today, and it is. 4.5 for the first episode, 4 for the second one. Good episodes here. Let's see what happens when we get those returning characters in episode 54, The Light of the Crystal, coming up next.
Storm, find She-Ra and the rebels. Tell them we're in trouble.
Get out of Elfworld, you rotten robots!
He got away.
Which is more than you do, Your Highness. I rule in Elfworld now, and you and all your subjects will work for me in the crystal mines.
She-Ra will save us.
There is nothing She-Ra can do to help you, Elf.
Take him away! Where are you? The next little joke like that will be your
your last. Now to find that elf and keep your eyes out for She-Ra.
All right, final episode today, episode 54, The Light of the Crystal. Air date Wednesday, November 20th, 1985. Written by Michael Utvich. Utvich, I don't know how to say his name. Catra and her troopers have taken over the kingdom of Elfworld and put all of its subjects to work in the crystal mines. Prince Storm seeks help from the Great Rebellion, who have just been joined by the thrill-seeking Archaon of Argon. Or Vargon, something like that. Jesus. We have Hordak, Catra, Scorpia, Imp, Antenna. We have She-Ra, Bo, Glimmer, Cowl. And then we have this Archaon guy. We have this Storm Prince with King Varn. And then we have the Rock People, Stondar, Granita, and the introduction of Facet. So what do you think of this episode that combines the Elf World Storm with the Archaon of Argon Thrill Seeker, with the Rock People, with the Horde, and with the Rebellion?
So it's, no, well, wait.
Reference
quadruple is 4. Is it quintuplet is 5? Because I know sextuplet is 6. I don't know.
It's a lot going on here.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, and it really is
very well paced. Like, there's so much going on in this episode, folks, that I was wondering how they were going to be able to manage it all, but they do it very well.
I'm speechless.
What?
I don't want to know where this is going, but...
Well, I'm just saying!
Man, just based on the plot alone, though, and that... If you were to read that plot synopsis to me, first of all, you'd have to edit it because it doesn't even talk about the Rock People being in the episode.
Right.
But if you were to read a real synopsis of this episode and tell me if it's going to be a good or bad episode, I'd say there's no way in hell that's going to be a good episode, because it just is all over the place. Like, we literally have like 5 different factions that are being addressed. And it just seems like I don't even know what the plot is. It's just random groups of 5 different people trying to do random stuff to each other. And it's like the Horde's invading the elf world. So the elf people are looking for help from the Rebellion, but the Rebellion is being visited by this Archaon guy for who knows what reason. So he's going to be joining them. And then in the meantime, the Rock People intervene and try to help the rebels against the Horde. And it's just like, why was it necessary to include all of these different groups? I'm not a big fan of the plot here. I mean, maybe it would be executed perfectly, like you say, and be better than it should be. But based on just the plot alone, I'm not a fan of how this is set up.
Yeah. I mean, the setup is a little weird, but what I like about the plot as far as the pay is how they juggle it all. Like, you know, we should know this, even though this episode is 30-something years old.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Spider-Man 3. I mean, you know, you put too much crap in a movie or a cartoon or whatever, you're going to have a hard time doing it. But what I'm saying is I think they do it very well here. There's so much in here that they're basically, you know, juggling, you know, while unicycling over a pit of lava here, and they're excelling at doing it. Maybe, you know, when the He-Man and She-Ra, A Complete Guide to the Classic Animated Adventures, comes out in August, we'll get a more complete plot synopsis or something out of that for this.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess we can hope, but...
Maybe our good buddy James Etok was able to make more sense of this episode than Wikipedia was.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get it from Wikipedia, but
okay. Well, whatever.
Either way, let's take a quick break and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of this one and why it's either a good or a bad episode based on that convoluted plot, to say the least.
Mm.
Rock People.
I help chase away those horde robots.
My name is Storm the Elf. Then you're my friend?
Anyone who's chased by the horde is a friend of the rock people. But why were they after you?
I'm looking for She-Ra and her rebels. We elves need her help.
Come with me, Storm.
What a beautiful day.
Glimmer, Adora, watch this. Ouch! Who said that? It seemed to come from the tree.
Of course it was the tree. You're not too bright, are you, lad?
But you're a tree, and you're talking. That's very strange.
And you're talking to me. That's even stranger.
You've got to admit, the tree's got a point.
Bo, it looks like somebody's trying to play a joke on you.
Hold on, Adora. This is no joke. I'm not going to be insulted by some old tree. All right, you overgrown splinter. Apologize.
Pushy-poo.
Ew!
All right, folks, the last time today that we take a trip into the Whispering Woods and the Fright Zone. So let's start with you, because I don't have a lot.
The adult prince, I forget what his name is. I love him throwing Storm? His voice. Yeah, Prince Storm.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, the Archon of Argon or whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
The adult prince.
They both look like a damn adults to me.
No.
The fucking elf kid I've ever seen in my life.
Not the elf kid, the other one.
Yeah.
The one in the red and the blue and the white and... Oh, hey, look, it's Captain America. Hail Hydra! Oh, anyway, I love the way he throws his voice, and he's basically playing with Bo's emotions. I thought that was hilarious. And then also throwing Imp. Bo, one thing I'll give Bo, him throwing Imp was funny. Return of the Rock People. Well, that's nice. Catra and Mantana. Now that was a funny scene. It's them fighting or something. I forget off the top of my head now, but it was them fighting or going back and forth, and I just thought it was funny. What do you got? Anything?
Just a couple things here, but you said most of them. I like seeing the Rock People again. I don't think they did that much, but it's cool, and we got to see a different one, even though I'm not a big fan of hers. And I love the throwing of the voice as a character trait, because that's something we don't get a lot in cartoons. So I don't remember how many other people have been in episodes that are throwing their voice, so I liked that aspect of it. But other than that, I don't have a lot great to say about this one. But I don't have a lot to say about Fright Zone either.
Oh, wait a second. Okay, so the throwing of the voice thing. See, that was what was so cool about it, because I did not, even though I read your synopsis before I watched the episode, I didn't really think it was going... Like, I thought they were going to do something stupid and have the tree come alive and, the tree be a living, breathing being, whatever. And I'm glad that it wasn't. So, throwing the voice is always nice.
Yeah. My only Fright Zone moment really is that is one of the weirdest looking elf kids I've ever seen.
Yeah, when he's, pretty much.
The first close-up with him is just scary looking, because it's like a man head on an elf body, and or like an adult but with a child's voice. It was weird. Mm. What did you have?
Nothing? Even though Bo had an awesome moment throwing Imp, he just still annoys the crap out of me. He's getting so frustrated at the guy throwing his voice, and when he finally sees the guy, he gets even more arrogant. So just, Bo, Jesus, what was the PSA?
It's about appreciating your parents. Go give them a hug.
Oh,
had nothing.
For some odd reason, I got an old Bud Light joke out of that. Thank you, Kev. I love you, man. No, Mike, you can't have my Bud Light. I don't know why I got an old beer joke out of that.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
But, you've thrown me off track with that one. No, I'm not a Bud Light drinker, so I don't know their commercials. So,
come on. Everybody knows that those commercials where the father and the brothers are out on the fishing boat, and one of them says, I love you, man. No, you can't have my Bud Light.
Oh, yeah, I remember those. Yeah, vaguely. All right, well, let's end this train wreck before it goes down too many more rails. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for the last time for Horbats, Protection Swords, and Crystal Castles to see it for the first time today. Mike and I can agree.
Oh, my.
Not likely.
No, probably not.
It's going to get us.
Don't give up. I'm here. Now, to get inside. Come on, we're going to give the pilot a real surprise. The cockpit should be right about. Sorry, Cat, the game's over.
That's what you think, Rebel. You're my prisoner.
Correction. You are our prisoners. I think it's time you and your horde creatures left Elfworld for good.
All right, last chance today to hand out some hardware. Horde bats or protection swords, do you have any, sir?
I will give a protection sword to Prince Storm and his voice-throwing abilities.
Let's get the right character, though.
Yeah, that's the right character.
No, Storm is the elf child.
No, it wasn't. Yeah.
You're talking about Archon, the Archon of Argon.
Yeah, Archon. Okay.
Archon. I don't know how they said his name.
And I will give a horde bat to Bo because he always deserves a bat upside the head.
All right. Bo taking that in the chin again. I have nothing. Nobody stood out either way for me on this one. So it's just kind of this episode was there. This is an episode. Just to see how many times I can do that throughout the rest of the year. Crystal Castles, how many do you got, sir? You were at 2.5 or something stupid for the first episode. Then you got up to 3.5, and now where do you go?
3. It's average.
All right, thank God. I thought you were going to rate this higher than all the other episodes. This is by far the worst episode of the day. It is by far the worst episode of the day. It gets 2.5 for me for just being there, for just being an episode. It didn't piss me off, but it's a convoluted bunch of nonsense that never really worked too well for me. So I can't give it a positive grade, but I'm not going to trash on it. It's 2.5. We're fairly close on that one, but...
Yeah, fairly.
I disagree with what the best episode of the day was, which by far was The Wizard.
No.
4.5, plus a 4 for The Unexpected Ally. Some good episodes there, and then we dropped off the planet with The Light of the Crystal, which I thought was going to be my favorite episode because I had the rock people, and it let me down. All right, let's take one final break, and we'll be back with our final thoughts of this episode and where we are in our journey through the mists of Etheria.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Rec, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode-long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekcastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Can we just put the protection sword in the stone people?
What?
It's a bad sword in the stone joke. Come on, folks! Cause it's a sword in the stone joke!
Oh, God.
So we are back here on Myths of Etheria, episode 64. Where are we going from here? I don't even know. Who's driving this Wind Raider anyway?
Yikes. I am clearly the driver of any vehicle that we're in. Because I
refuse to ride in that Dragon Walker bull.
The series is... I liked where it was going there with the outposts and the generals and the colonels and all this type of stuff and, like, all that. But we've gone away again from any depth to any of the actual characters that we see in a recurring basis. But, hey, there's only so much more of Season 1 to go, and I am looking forward to a few things, including the first episode next week, which is going to be my probably most anticipated episode of the entire series. Just
if you rate that a 5, I will
cannot wait till we watch that episode. I haven't seen it. I don't know if it's a good show.
This show, I will make you do all the damn work.
I don't know if it's good or bad. You can't judge it before we see it.
I'm just telling you, if you rate Lukey lends a hand a 5, I will quit this show. I will make you do all the work. I'll give you everything. You can do whatever you want to with it.
I'm just saying, like, let's see if it's good or not. I can't wait to actually see it.
Okay. What I think is funny about next week is that on your 4th birthday, you apparently had a jungle fever.
Oh, Lord.
Because episode 57 aired November 23rd, 1985.
True that.
All right. Thank you for joining us or listening to or whatever we say here on Myths of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com or you can comment on this and all the other episode posts. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. You can follow at Power of Grayskull for the show. I am at TFG1 Mike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. We hope you enjoyed the myths today, and don't forget to join us on our next adventure when we will take a look at the next 3 episodes, those being Lukey Lends a Hand, Shoot Me Now, of Shadows and Skulls. That better have something to do with Shadow Weaver. And Saturday Night Jungle Fever.
No, that's not what it says.
Yes, yes it is. For now, I am TF Joe and Mike with...
the one and only Optimus Solo.
Tune in next time, and by the power and for the honor of Grayskull, you all have the power.
Jesus.
Shit.
You gotta do it.
Bye now, see you next time!